Well, I must say that I told Sylvia earlier, I got so emotional preparing this word and so excited. Am I allowed to get excited in the pulpit? My word this morning, I'm going to bring it in two stages. First, I want to look at the cross and the resurrection. And then I want to look at what it means to us for today's life. Or as Billy Graham used to say, the university of life. But first of all, I think we'll start with a little story. A minister with a large family of seven children moved to a new town. He and his wife didn't want to buy a home immediately. They wanted to rent a townhouse until they could get the feel for the area and choose a home where the kids would be in good schools and they could be conveniently located. They found plenty of rental townhouses that were large enough, but the landlords always objected to having a family of nine occupy the premises. In frustration one day, the father asked the mother to take the four youngest children and go and visit the local cemetery. She was puzzled by his request but went along. He and the other three children headed off to investigate another townhouse they had found. The place was perfect, and the father told the landlord he would take it. Then came the usual question. I see you have children. How many are there in the family? The minister gave out a deep sigh and said, seven, but four are with their dear mother in the cemetery. He got the house. Oh dear. Well, as you know, and we've sung about it and said it often enough, today is the day that we can celebrate when Jesus was risen from the dead. And let's face it, folks, Good Friday was wonderful when Jesus decided to give his life for you and for me. But if he'd have been nailed to the cross and placed in the tomb and stayed there, we would have been absolutely without hope. We would have been the most miserablest people on earth. In fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, without the resurrection, we are miserable. So thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for me and you, but you didn't stay there. In fact, somebody said to Joseph of Arimathea, why have you given your new tomb to somebody else? He said he only wanted it for the weekend. The cross is a picture of suffering, yet it's the key to healing. The cross is a picture of violence, yet it's the key to peace. The cross is a picture of death, yet it's the key to life. The cross is a picture of hatred, yet it's the very key to love. The cross is a picture of utter weakness, yet it's the key to God's great power. The cross is a picture of supreme shame, yet it's the Christian supreme boast. Friends, the cross divides the world. You either believe it or you don't believe it. I mean, after all, there was one man one side, Jesus, and one man the other. Both heard and saw the same things. And one said, if you are the other one said, shut up. We deserve to be here. This man's done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. They both saw the same things. Both heard the same things. The cross divides the world today. And as I said before, from here, one cross plus three nails equals forgiveness. Yes? One cross and three nails equals forgiveness. Right. That's all I want to say about the cross and the resurrection at the moment. What I want to say now is that people in life are searching for a purpose. They're searching for things. They try to find it in needles, bottles, powder they shove up the nose, all sorts of things. If only they knew that all they really need is Jesus Christ, because they're not going to find what they want in a bottle or a needle. Or what have you. Now I want to talk about the university of life and what the cross and the resurrection means to us. There are three courses in this university of life, and we all have to take them. We have no choice. First, you are born. You didn't ask to be. Has anybody asked to be born? Nobody asked to be born, but you're here. You had no choice. You also had no choice where you were born. I was born in Summercoats. I'd rather have been born somewhere else, actually, because when I was a little lad growing up, everywhere I looked was a pit slag heap or what have you. I'd rather have been born in Crich or Matlock or Castleton or something. Did you get a choice in what country you were born? Did you want to be born in Scotland or England or Africa or Australia? You didn't get a choice. You were born. And whatever you say, nobody had a choice. Did Anton want to be born with black skin? Did I want to be born with black skin? Nobody got a choice as to what colour skin you were going to have. That's why we should never be prejudiced, really. The black men didn't choose to be like. Nobody chose to have the colour skin they were born in. They had no choice whatsoever. The second thing as well, friends, that you have no choice of is that one day you are going to die. There is no doubt about that. You have no choice. Unless Jesus Christ comes back first, you are going to die. There is no choice. No choice whatsoever. Whether it's next week, next year, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 50 years' time, this is something you were born. You are going to die. And the third course in the university of life is the judgment. You're going to have no choice in that. One day, you will stand before God and give an account of your life. Because from the very moment that you were conceived, God was watching you. Every thought, every word, everything you have ever done is written in what's called the books. You've got no choice. It's there. You are going to have to face God one day. And it says here, it's quite vividly, it says here, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened." Notice the books, because everything you've ever done or said is in those books. "Were opened, including the book of life." There's another book, friends. There's a book of life. And if you, during your lifetime, have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then the books are thrown away and your name is entered into the book of life. "And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and the death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is a second death, and anyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Friends, they're not my words. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. Nothing I've said. That is the word of God. You have no choice in being born. You have no choice. You're going to die, and you have no choice that you are going to stand before God and give an account of your life. But you do have a choice between being born and dying as to what you're going to do with your life. That's where you have the choice of what to do. There's only one man that was born who didn't need to die, and that was Jesus. He gave his life freely for you and for me, so that we could have this eternal life. Now, Jesus said that the path to life is very narrow. There's a small gate and not many find it. But the path to destruction is wide and a lot of people go down that way. We have a choice, friends, in our lifetime. There is life after death. Don't tell me that we are born and then we die and that's all there is. No, friends, there is a meaning to life. This meaning to life. It's not the end. You will be judged on according to what you have done. And if you have, but you have to come to the cross. That's where we are. And I'm not talking about nice little crosses you hang around your neck. And I'm not talking about crosses on the Bible or even that one there. I'm talking about the old rugged cross where Jesus was nailed to on Friday. You have to take up your cross. And it costs us. It costs us. You have to lay down your own life. You have to lay down your ambitions sometimes. And you have to live for Jesus. In your community, in your school, in your workplace. You have to take a stand. And sometimes things happen that you know is not right. Are you prepared to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm following this man Jesus. You can choose. You don't get a choice, as I said. You don't get a choice about being born. You don't get a choice about dying. You don't get a choice about standing before God. But you do get a choice whether you chose the path to life or the path to death. You can know, friends, this morning where you are going when you die. Because there's only two places. One is heaven and one is hell. And if you've accepted Jesus into your life and really mean it, then friends, Jesus will say to you when you stand before him, well done. Just imagine, just recently, this wonderful, wonderful evangelist called Billy Graham, who's died and gone to be... Can you imagine what Jesus said to Billy Graham? He would have said, Billy, come on. Friends, this morning, it's resurrection. We're celebrating. I'm getting all excited. But please, 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 put your life in order. I'm not judging anybody because if I point my finger, there's three pointing back at me. I'm just saying, get yourself right with this Jesus so that when that final judgment comes upon you, you can stand there and Jesus will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. God bless you.